Welcome to Geo Up Over and Down Under. Today we're pleased to introduce to you Chris Maple. Now, Joy will be hosting with us today. Are you there, Joy?
Yes, I am here.
Great to have you back with us. Chris Maple is a Los Angeles photographer by trade. He's co-producing the documentary which to expose the heavy metal toxins that humanity is currently sucking up, unbeknownst to them. So not only is our drinking water under attack with the sodium fluoride, but they have uncovered through their research that their food as well as the air they breathe is being laced. Now we know this is nothing new to you guys here that are listening. By design, it seems, with metals. It's all for your own good, though. So, we have on the plate for you neurological disorders. I mean, these are rising at an alarming rate, and the CDC states that one in every 98 children will be diagnosed with autism. One in every 98, folks, think about that. In the state of California, it's one in 50. Now, you guys need to bring some awareness to this. This is what they are doing. Now, Paul Wittenberger won't be with us today, but Paul was the filmmaker, artist and activist that was involved with Whitwatts, What in the World Are They Spraying? Paul was born in Michigan. However, he spent much of his childhood in Western Africa. Paul later returned to the United States, where a unique perspective and upbringing led him to pursue a career in the arts. He went on to study film at Sale University. In 2010, Paul teamed up with the reporter Michael Murphy and Geordie Griffin to make the film What in the World Are They Spraying, which I know everyone here has all seen. Welcome, Chris. Welcome to Geo Up Over Down Under. It's lovely to have you with us. Thanks for taking the time today.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you, and full support for the project that you've taken on. So, Joy's going to lead off. Joy's got some questions for you today, Chris.
Well, first, Chris, congratulations on your documentary. I think a lot of people are awaiting that very anxiously. I was wondering if you could start with just giving us a little brief overview about your documentary that you're working on.
Well, sure. Yeah, well, thank you for that. Along with the audience, we too are anticipating the release. But the film in a nutshell, we're looking into the air, our food, as well as our water, our three basic essentials to support life. And we wanted to, after What in the World Are They Spraying, we heard the resonation of the aluminum, the bariums, the metals again. And just based on the research I was doing myself, I looked over at Paul and I said, here it is again with these metallics, these particulates. I mean, can you think of a worse thing to be putting into our biological bodies than these metals? And as we all know, on the atomic level, we are energy. We are made up of energy, electrical currents that teleport through our body, and we have a thought, it actually escapes our mind, goes out to the universe, and just to even speak, it's an electrical current that's through your body. We have this electrical meridian within us. And I remember looking at a microwave once and thinking, you're not supposed to put metals in there because they blow up, they implode. You know, you can't microwave anything. Not that you should be using a microwave, but we don't have one anymore. But my point being is, that Paul and I said, based on the rise in these neurological disorders that we're seeing today, I mean, these metallics have to have something to do with it. And as we know, the water itself, you know, with the fluoride issue, it's a byproduct of the aluminum industry along with the phosphate mining industry. There are metallics there within the fluoride itself. You know, it's a byproduct of these metals. So then the food as well, we wanted to look into, and we all know how contaminated the food is nowadays. With the air being the final frontier, it's the last hope. You know, it's the last assault, I believe, on our three basic essentials. And you definitely want to look at and tie into, you know, the rise in the neurological disorders that we're seeing today. As you mentioned, the autism is on the rise. In the state of California, I believe the CDC states that it's one in every 58 children will end up on that spectrum. These are alarming numbers. People need to believe it was the vaccination thing that really kind of perked my ears up and really got me focused and going, got me off my butt and decided to just look at this. Let's ask these questions. You know, mainstream media can't do it. Somebody's got to. And here I am. I'm not a filmmaker, but I'm trying to put something together and hopefully just spread some awareness. And that's really the journey and the film in a nutshell.
Chris, you have managed to get interviews with a lot of leading people in separate activist roles for this documentary. Could you give us a list of some of those people? You know, because a lot of the people listening will recognize various peoples and how you were able to get them all together for this film.
Well, thank you for that. You're absolutely right. We do have a pretty broad spectrum there of featured guests, interviews that we've collected. I mean, this is a 13-month project right now. We're actually heading tomorrow morning to Arizona. We're gathering a little bit more information on fluoride, and we're also picking up an interview for a future project after this one. So the list, we have names like, you know, obviously we have Alex Jones. We have former Senator Karen Johnson in this film. We also have Dr. Rima Labow, Paul Connett, who's, you know, big in the fluoride movement. Of course, David Kennedy, our friend down in San Diego. Dr. David Kennedy, that is. We also spoke with James Roeder, Dr. Roeder. He's a Los Angeles-based dentist here whose main focus is the removal of the metals, the fillings, the mercury-safe agenda that he has. We also have Clifford Carnicom from the Carnicom Institute, Rosalind Peterson. The list does go on. Charlie Getchell. We're looking for a good neurologist. Actually, we need neurologists if anybody wants to speak with us. And it is, it's a hot potato. It's a touchy subject. And I mentioned, you know, how do we bring everybody together? We just approach everybody individually and said, look, this is our gut feeling. This is what the film's about. You are an expert, we're not the experts. I just want everybody to know that. We're trying to gather as much information collectively as we can. And so if we could just get everybody's own individual story. And the further we went down, you know, this path, this journey, our hunches, we were right with our gut, with these metallics, with what it's doing biologically and neurologically to us, the impact that it's having. So did we bring everybody together? Yeah, we have. We've also had a little controversy, too, as of late. I don't know if anybody's aware of issues with the name of the film. A lot of folks, if anybody's heard about that. It is a touchy subject, you know, as I mentioned. You know, we have disclaimers on our website. Not everybody's on the same page. We just look. We just want the evidence. We want the science. Let's bring it to the forefront. Put everybody's personal opinions aside or what they think or what it really is. Let's just look at what we got and let the chips fall where they do and let the audience make the decision. And more importantly, we're focusing on solutions. We're going to have an entire solution section. So this isn't just all about doom and gloom. And I think that solution section really brings our interviewers together. It was almost what brought everybody together because everybody has the same objective. Spread awareness. Let's clean this up. Let the people know so that they can, once the truth is revealed, then the population, our allies, our friends, our families, our neighbors globally, we can make the better choices to lessen our exposure with all these metallics. And that's really what it's all about.
Okay, good. We're just going to take you back a little bit. Now, the comment that Chris made regarding that there's been some controversy over the name of the show, there was a press release put out recently by the lovely Rosalind Peterson, but she, I think her issue there is the name of the show, and she has sort of removed herself from the name of the show. She was interviewed for it, and Michael's followed up with the same thing. Now, is that going to have any impact on your film going out at all? We want you to understand we support you with this. It's just something that's been going on. It's been talked about a lot in the geo community, and we would like to just see it, let people understand that the divisions are only as the gossip goes around YouTube. So.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, and you're absolutely right. You know, it's when Rosalind was one of the first people that we interviewed. She's a sweetheart. We adored her. We met her mom. We went all the way up there to see her in Northern California, spent a few days there. Not with her, of course, but she opened her house and gave us a great interview where she knew what we were discussing. And at the time, we just didn't have the title of the film. We weren't sure what we were going to call the film. And where, you know, it kind of got a little iffy because, you know, once the title came out, she expressed, you know, concern about the title. I'm about, and she's not about that, and nobody who we interviewed is about this. Again, you can't read a book by its cover. Like, don't let this title, the title is there to wake people up. We believe, personally, Paul and I, what's the calling? I do, I have to say that I believe that there's more to all this than just, oops, or we're doing wrong. It's all for your own good, you know, it's all for the planet's. For the planet, for the protection of you, and we've been spoon-fed that lie over and over and over, regardless of the industry, of politics, or media. It's just always fed to us that way. So back to the title. And so once the title came out, she also did express concern. We spoke with her, and we calmed her down. We put disclaimers in place for her. She was content with that. And it wasn't up until she actually saw herself in the trailer, and that's really what I think sent the fur a loop. So she was on board with it right along, as far as, you know, she knew she was still going to be in it, and she still is. We're not actually removing her from the film. Michael Murphy is also trying to get a film put out there, and we commend him on that, and big fans of, you know, what he's doing, and I think everybody needs to do a little bit of something. You know, there's multiple topics that can, as far as this aerial phenomenon going on, I mean, there's a number of different components you could look at, you know, whether it is
global,
and there's a lot of people going to be affected by it, that are being affected by it. And that was Paul and I's emphasis. These, you know, folks that we've interviewed, you know, they're more focused on environmental impact and what's going on, really, with the environment, really, the global warming, the climate control, this, that, the other thing. As I said, it's a multiple number of layers within this thing, and our focus and our emphasis is on neurological disorders. What's going on neurologically with us?
Fantastic.
And I think your film is more along the lines of connecting some dots. And when you do that, you have to keep in mind that the people that you're interviewing come from different areas and different backgrounds of activism. And so they're more focused on their own single piece. You know, they're not looking at a bigger picture, so to speak. You know, so, I think all these people are brilliant researchers and activists in their own right. It becomes difficult when you're connecting dots because not everybody's going to agree.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more. And that was one thing that Paul and I had discussed of it. And talking with our distributors who want to distribute this thing. We have a lot of people who want to sell it. Everybody's excited for it. But it is. It's tough to try to bridge the gap between the three. So we have our water activists, our fluoride people who we love and adore, and we have the Carnicom Institute and Roslyn and everybody who's looking up above our heads and taking note, and we adore and love everybody there as well. And now the food. It's just not coincidental that this is all by accident. You know, there's definitely a design effect going on here, and it is. It's hard for people to digest that, especially from the three different communities. And PR film is a little broad, maybe a little too ambitious, I don't know, but the one thing that resonates, again, is these metallics through all three, and they all tie to us neurologically, in addition to everything else, the diseases that they cause from these metals. So you're absolutely right. A lot of people have said you should make it a three-part series. We have enough information, too, and it's a decision now that Paul and I are tossing around, and we haven't really made any public statements on that, so the information's there to do it.
Okay.
And maybe with doing that, we have a fluoride community, and they just, they're want to see this film just for that fluoride section. Well, they might not be too interested in the other two, and they might get turned off with the whole thing. So if we thought about this, perhaps, you know, going a three-part series, food, air, water, if we do that, it might bridge the gap a little bit. It might ease the communities together, I think, possibly. They might want to look into the other. At least it gives the audience the option, what you guys think about that. But we certainly have enough information to make six movies on what we have. It's going to be a challenge to try to get it all into an hour and a half.
This is the problem, isn't it? And this is what we're coming up against frequently now. People are all concentrating on one end of the scale. It's time now, isn't it, Chris, to open up and hold hands. It's time to share one another's information. It's time to take on what each other has. Because, I mean, these are just dots. We've got to connect them all to get the wider picture. So hats off to you for what you're attempting to do. I can only imagine what it's like to try and get that much information into one film.
Yeah, it's been a challenge, and it's what an awakening journey. I mean, it's just, I get the goosebumps thinking about how close we are, and it's just some reason I'm feeling compelled, like, you know, time needs to be now, though. Like, we can't. The stuff needs to get out.
There is an urgency. There certainly is an urgency. I mean, I'm sitting here in New Zealand watching what they're doing to us and our good people of Christchurch and in fact all over the country as big oils moved in, Anadarko and Seabird and all these monster oil machines have decided that we're the new big Texas. So we're watching our little country be rattled and shaked and raped, basically, being poisoned. We were horrifically poisoned through 2009, 2010 while they primed us with all these trails. And I can't even tell you. So, you know, this is what motivates us all, I guess. If you've got children, that's what keeps you going. Certainly, we have much admiration for what you're attempting to do there.
Yeah, who are some of the key players that you're finding, you know, the names that keep popping up over and over that kind of go throughout all these issues? Because, you know, I know once you start going to the top, oh, the number of key players gets, the same names keep coming up. So what were you finding?
Well, it's so interesting. Aside from this film, I've tried to follow the money in every industry, and I do keep coming up with the same, that same blue blood, Carnegie, Mellon, Rothschild connection, Rockefeller. It's bigger than just your political group that we have here that's, you know, obviously working for these corporations, and it's just a bigger scale than I believe personally. And we all know Bill Gates is right in there with the funding for the geoengineering. He's not the only one. There's bigger guys than him involved. And without, you know, getting too far into that, I'd rather maybe not say too much there.
I could go on and on.
Because, you know, you look at the CDC, you look at, you know, everybody, there's just so much deceit that runs through all these regulatory agencies. Why is it that when I go to a supermarket, I have to pick up a package and read the label with a magnifying glass, and I can't even decipher half of what's on the product? You know, we're misled, we're deceived. Natural is not even natural, or natural flavors. It's why is that? Why is it that the FDA is allowing, you know, because high fructose corn syrup is getting a bad rap? Why are they allowing a name change to corn syrup, corn sugar? Excuse me. There's deception right there. Just follow it through the papers. What I tell people is, I say, look, if you think it's been bad, if you think it's been bad for the past 40, 50, 60 years, it's going to get a lot worse. Because in last January, the Supreme Court passed the individual rights. The corporations have the same rights now as individuals here. And so as far as funding is concerned, there's no ceiling anymore. There's no accountability. There's no transparency as far as what corporations can donate to whatever they want now. So it's going to, I think personally, it's just going to kick in high gear. It's been somewhat idling along here, but I think it's, you know, that's why I feel the sense of urgency.
Maybe we could take some of these issues like one at a time. Let's start with geoengineering and chemtrails. Talk about what you know about that and how you've connected that with your documentary.
Sure. Well, you know, at the end of What in the World Were They Spraying, again, Paul and I looked at each other and we came to realize, you know, the metallics and ending up everywhere and in us and in ourselves. You know, we've got to look at the geoengineering again. We have all these geoengineers out there that are, you know, they're saying, you know, we're putting it on the drawing board. You know, the planet's heating up. We're in a climate control. The warming of the planet, supposedly. Now, we all know, if you look into that a little bit, you realize there's some big discrepancies going on just within that community alone, as far as the climatologists are concerned. They're on the take, and the other half are speaking the truth, that we're not going through a warming. It's a cycle. The planet has constantly gone through this little warming and cooling periods. It has nothing to do with us, you or I. It has to do with corporations taking advantage of that. So let's think about this now. Because the planet is so polluted by us, I mean, now is it really you or I who are dumping into the oceans and polluting the skies, or is it corporations that are suppressing technologies and alternate energy technologies and forcing us down that oily slippery slope that we've been on for all these years? You know, we have the EPA. They won't even adjust the mileage here. We have, I think it was set in 1960-something, you know, the miles per gallon on automobiles. So, again, it's the finger is done. They'll have you believe that we're overpopulated, that it's the people. There's too many of us, and we're the problem. And when we all know, we're just at the mercy of these corporations.
It's our pesky carbon emissions, isn't it?
That's it, right? And as we know, didn't the carbon tax just get passed, I believe, over there as well? Or is it Australia?
Right, paying for that is going to lower it at all. I mean, the whole idea is just ridiculous to begin with.
Exactly. I mean, so the point is that they have no intentions of turning course. They're going to continue down the slopes they're going. They're going to start drilling in Alaska up there. And so let's back it up again for a second and get back to the geoengineering that you mentioned. So with everything that's going on globally and how it's polluted from, you know, all these corporations, what's the answer that they have? Let's put more chemicals up.
right.
year. And let's try to, they're going to tell us they're going to block the sun with it. That, so they have all these programs in place, and they're saying, well, you know, if it gets to the point of no return, we might have to start incorporating these programs when the evidence exists that they're already doing it. The evidence is everywhere. So, I mean, we just, the only smoking gun we're missing is for somebody to get up behind one of those planes with a capturing device of some sort and just grab some samples. That's going to require a lot of money. I mean, it needs that. That's what everybody wants. It's the whole everybody, the one thing, the one link. Because we're finding it all here on the ground. It's in the water. It's in us. It's in our blood. We're actually going to be speaking with some people in Arizona whose blood levels are full of aluminum and bariums, and it's just like that. Now they're going to the city council and making a public note of it and putting a lawsuit together. So it's, they're telling us it's for our own good. We're going to cool the planet by blocking the sun. When what we're learning too along this journey is that aerosol that they're putting up is having the exact opposite effect that they want. And I don't even think that's what they want, but it's actually heating the planet even faster, just because the heat is now locked in and can't escape as it naturally would. So
absolutely. Absolutely, and this is the crazy part. Anyone who wants to observe this, they put the full metal jacket over you, and where can these gases release themselves? They can't. And then the carbon tax, we're paying. This is how we're paying for to be chemtrailed, you know, right. To be poisoned. Come on, guys, wake up.
Yeah, I believe they're eventually going to, they probably never will, because they won't fess up on the fluoridation thing. They still won't, you know, admit. Their scientists, the UK scientists themselves, are all saying the fluoride's no good, but still, again, it's still in there. It's 60 years of controversy. Don't you think someone, every other country's gotten rid of it in Europe, I guess, not every other, I should say, but let's look at the numbers. I mean,
look, folks, we're going to go to break. We're just going to go to a music break, and we will be back with our guest, Chris Maple, from The Great Culling, in just a moment. You're speaking with Rose and Joy on Geo Up Over and Down Under.
Okay, Chris, let's continue. I'd like to start now on the drinking water, or water, issue. And there's quite a few, actually, issues surrounding the water, not just the particulates from the chemtrails, but fluoridation, chlorination, pharmaceuticals, you know, in our water, the whole bottled water controversy. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, it's one thing Paul and I did want to look at, and we have Dr. David Kennedy loaned us his fluoride tester, and we've tested everything, and guess what? Everything's got fluoride in it. Everything has fluoride in it. I mean, you got to imagine this. Even the RO systems we've tested have small trace amounts of it. The best water we were able to find, though, here in Los Angeles, they have these kiosk systems on the street where you can put a quarter in and get a gallon of water. You know, you see a lot of families doing that. You can also get, I think, 5 gallons for $1. And we've tested it. It's got the least amount of fluoride in it. You know, you can't boil it out. You can't. The RO systems do not remove all of it. Nothing really does. The only way you can get it out is to have the political will to turn off the spigot. And it's voluntary, too. It's not a law. It's something we're learning, too, with the fluoridation. But all the bottle, you know, I feel so bad when I go to the gym and I see, you know, people working out and drinking their expensive brand bottle and their plastic petroleum-laced bottles, and they don't even realize it's just tap water that's been filtered. You know, it's definitely better than tap. It's been through some type of filtration system. But if we're whatever community that bottling company just happens to be in, if it's in a fluoridated community, well, they're getting fluoridated, you know, tap water. And remember, it's in your milk, it's in your orange juice, in your tea, it's in, when you cook with it, it gets into the food. When you water your plants, the plants take it up. It's just, there's no way around it unless you just get it shut off.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, we have the pharmaceuticals that are now in our drinking water, and I know there was a controversy locally where I live with the water treatment and filtration plants stating that they were not able to filter out the pharmaceuticals that are now in drinking water. And, you know, most of the pharmaceuticals, if you look into and research that, they contain fluoride as well. It's in everything. So, you know, I mean, we've got fracking and all kinds of other things. We haven't even mentioned the chlorination of water, which people think is going to purify water, but then it has its own toxic effects on the body as well.
Yeah, certainly I've come to realise here too, so I live in a town where our water's not fluoridated, but that just means that the water hasn't got extra added fluoridation. We have a high fluoridation naturally, evidently. Well, not even naturally is these days. But so, you know, even if you're sitting there smirking because your tap water doesn't have fluoride added to it, folks, you really want to do your homework. If it doesn't have fluoride, it's certainly got chloride, so which is the worst of the two evils, I suppose. Your bottled water, if you had the same labelling system that we have here in New Zealand, they would have to label it that it has fluoride in it, and as I understand, the US, the majority of your water is fluoridated anyway, so we've just been fed.
You're absolutely right. I was really surprised to learn that Los Angeles, you know, just in 99, I believe, they began fluoridating their water, so it's not like, you know, it's going out the door, it's actually coming in, because San Diego, I believe, just a few weeks ago lost the battle, and they are now fluoridated, so it's just... You know, it's still coming. They're not going in the other direction. You're absolutely right. In America here, we do not label the toxins, you know, the metals that on the water bottle. And actually, Dr. Kennedy pointed that out to us.
And Ellen DeGeneres came out and she said, water causes cancer, or this bottled water causes cancer. You were talking about going to the gym and everybody sucking on the expensive bottles of water. I mean, you know, they leave those bottles lying in the sun. They throw them on their car seat, and the toxins from the plastic are just leaching into their expensive water anyway. So, you know, folks, you've got to be a little bit smart about your water source. I know it's not easy for everyone. It's certainly not easy for me, and I live in a remote location.
I think the EPA still has 4 parts per million listed on their website that's considered safe. Four parts. So there's everybody's on the same page when it comes to fluoride. I don't even know who oversees it. They just point to the next guy, whether it's the CDC, or the FDA, or the EPA. No one wants it. It's a hot potato. I mean, I can't stress more about that plastic, too. You know, as I mentioned, the water that I've been purchasing, everything goes in glass in my house now. It's so important just to, you know, find yourself some good glass. What I use is mason jars for, you know, a lot of spaghetti. So I won't buy food that comes in cans. You know, I actually call the company if there's a product that I like and enjoy, and it's, you know, because you have to be just as alert to the packaging, toxins in the packaging these days as what's in it. So, and it's really great because every product you pick up and buy, you know, have a consumer number, a customer comment line there, and you leave a message. Hey, I'm not going to buy this anymore unless you remove BPA from your cans or put it in glass. Make a suggestion. One thing we learned from Senator Johnson is that when she was in office, it only took 5 to 7 phone calls on a particular issue. When that 5 to 7 phone calls came in on a particular issue, that was her topic of the day. Her desk got completely cleared, and that was their focus, her office. So it was surprising to us that it was just such a small number of people, you know, picking up the phone and communicating, you know, the power of communication. Make things happen. Hit the corporations in their wallet. You know, just start boycotting their stuff. Buy other things. Be smart. Look around. Got to read your labels because the FDA isn't.
Are you aware that the school wells are fluoridated above their own standards? There's special regulations for school wells that go above recommendations, evidently. I believe they're supposed to fluoridate water at 2 mg per litre, which of course would be extra toxic to the youth.
And the kids are more susceptible, you know, the babies. We just finally, I believe, what the EPA just called for the banning of the ADA, I'm sorry, American Dental Association here, telling moms finally not to use tap water with their baby's formula. The children are the most susceptible, and that's one thing that really kind of disturbed me a little bit when we started looking into the water, because what we're finding is there's a lot of baby waters now on the market. I don't know if they have it there in New Zealand. They're actually selling baby water in plastic bottles with additional fluoride added for infants.
And they proudly put that on the label, I have noticed.
Yeah, proudly, right next to Sesame Street. I mean,
right.
I was visiting a friend and he has a small child, and he pulled out his water I use. He's all proud. I don't use, you know, tap water. I put it up on my, first of all, I shouldn't be using formula. I should be breastfeeding, okay? Because mother's breast has the least amount of fluoride. You could poison a mother to death with fluoride, and the breast milk will be 0.007. So breast milk, I can't stress enough.
Great info.
You know, and he pulls out this gallon of water with fluoride added and an infant on it, and I'm looking at his you know, six-month-old with no teeth in his head, and I'm thinking, what are you giving the child fluoride for? For what teeth? The first set that's going to come in, they lose anyway, their baby teeth. They're not going to have their permanent teeth to what? I mean, ladies, you might be able to help me out with 7, 6, 5 or something.
Well, and then the molars come in at 12 years. You know,
right.
It's
so
what happens all throughout childhood.
With the combination of the fluoride in the water, you know, the vaccination schedule that's through the roof right now, I was lucky I only got 10. And in 83, they increased it. And that's one thing that really got me going. Nation schedule increasing from 10 to 36 in 1983. Ironically enough, 3 years later, exactly, the Childhood Vaccination Injury Act went into place, and you would think it was going to, something like that, with a title like that, you'd think they're looking to protect the children, and they weren't. They were looking to protect the manufacturers. So immediately when the schedule increased, 3 years later, obviously people must have been making complaints. Now, it took a few years. This is a pretty good number, but it's usual. People now are more hip and to being in tune with their children and recognizing the, you know, the signs of the spectrum, the autistic spectrum. So thank God people are being diagnosed earlier on and they're catching it earlier. But, you know, back in 1983, it was, you know, the numbers were one in every, what, 20, 30,000? It was a rare form of autism. So 3 years later, they must have got a spike, because that Injury Act came into play, and then it wasn't until 1988 that the compensation program was created, and that compensated the families. And there's just this, again, it was so blatantly obvious that they went to protect the manufacturers first, and then 2 years later again, they looked at looking into the families. So
there's no minerals, natural minerals in our water anymore. It's all chemically removed from all these things that they do to purify our water.
Okay. A lot of people will say, you know, so what can you do, Chris? What can you do? And I say, find, you know, an RO system. Somebody's got to have one, or, you know, buy it if you can, or get distilled. A lot of people will argue, well, there's no minerals in distilled water. You know, it's gone. But you know what? You can make that up in your diet. And that's one thing we've learned, too.
That's an interesting comment, because, yes, distilled water, There's a constant fight going on of whether we should drink that or not. Look, also, even if we're sitting at the top of a mountain here in so-called clean green New Zealand, without the chloride, without the fluoride, all of these things, you've still got the metals. You've still got the metals and the poisons, and our snow is loaded with radiation now, you know, up there in the northern hemisphere, and now it's leaching down here. You know, folks, it's the biggest issue you can be facing. Without water, you can't grow your garden, so you can't eat. So really, the number one issue is water. There's a lot you can do with your water, though. Don't forget, like, when you pick up your glass, and we're going back to Dr. Emoto's work here, shed some love into that glass, because that glass, that water, the molecular structure of it will pick it up and feed you on a cellular level. You know, as much damage as that water's had as it's coming through our pipes and our chemicals, etc., don't be angry at the water for it, because that's just, again, going to don't feed you what you've just fed it. So keep your water in within the energy field. Send it some love.
You know, we do have this capacity, this electrical, this meridian that flows through us also, as Nikola Tesla figured out, we're surrounded by energy. Free energy all around us. We're energy, as you mentioned. And I love that that water. I've seen the samples of the crystal and, you know, the water that had the great affirmations and the compliments, and then there was the water samples that were, you know, mistreated or shouted or just had hate. And you can see, as you mentioned, the molecular makeup, cellular-wise, well, the damage just our energy alone can cause, and how it exudes beyond us, and we're just more good and better things.
Mm, indeed we are. And you know, Chris, I really think, I know this is a heavy load, this movie that you've taken on. I know that the research that you've done would have taken you down every rabbit hole, but I'm very positive about what's coming through this period, through this year. But, you know, great people like yourself just putting it out there, putting the information out into the mix. People are getting it. they are going to wake up on this. And I mean, they are waking up on this. We keep talking about this great awakening. Well, guess what? It's already happening. But when they understand what fabulous, energetic beings they are, when they stop waiting for somebody else to come and save them, magnificent things are going to happen on this planet.
I can't agree with you more. You just got to have the courage to remove the blinders for a little bit and do a little research. We have this wonderful thing at our fingertips called the internet. We have every library in the world right at our fingertips. I mean, it's out there. You just got to find the time. It should be important to everybody because this affects every one of us, everybody. Take a few minutes. Don't believe us. Do the research yourself. Guarantee you'll come back a believer like we all are. It just happens.
Yeah, I was wanting to move into the huge, huge issue of vaccines and what we now know about vaccinations and toxins. And you kind of touched on it a little bit. Maybe we could further expand on that.
Yes, the vaccines. You know, something I found interesting, here in America we have the federal funding for schools. Schools need to be 90% vaccinated or they lose their federal funding. So here in America we have the entire school system, you know, hounding the parents, forced vaccines. Not necessarily forced, you know, mandatory, putting the fist down, and, you know, in the small little writing on the bottom of the paper in the back or something, you know, you look read close, you do not have to mandate vaccinations. And who's behind it? What is the government's, and, you know, why are they so concerned with vaccinating everybody? And it's interesting. Just recently I saw something on the news, and I couldn't help but put it up on Facebook and make a comment about it, because I think it was on MSN somewhere. They had mentioned that unvaccinated children, they're the new threat. And you got to ask yourself something. That if you're giving your kid the appropriate vaccination schedule, aren't they going to be the most protected ones? Since they've had these vaccinations, what is their concern with somebody who's unvaccinated? How's an unvaccinated person going to be a threat? And it was frightening to hear, and I put a post up, so what are you telling me? Unvaccinated people are going to be the new terrorists? So,
Well, their reasoning in that is stating that, you know, they're subjecting the rest of the population to these illnesses that vaccines supposedly eradicate or help eradicate, which just simply is nothing but propaganda, plain and simple, because that it is not true.
Right.
You know, that's their whole angle, I think. And there again, that's the fear factor. We'll instill fear into these people, but if they don't get their children vaccinating, not only are they risking their child's health, but they're risking everybody else's health as well.
Right, absolutely. You know, never mind the vaccinations, you've got the flu shots that people line up for free in America, you know. You can go to any, like, I think McDonald's gives them now. I don't know. They're all over the place, so everybody's
good. That wouldn't surprise me. I call them McPoisons. Have a vaccine with your Happy Meal. But, you know, recently I heard a recent article I read said that they're now, what they're trying to get done is people will automatically be enrolled in experimental trials for vaccines, or they will need to opt out in advance. And I'll put the link to that article in the chat, but I read this and I'm like, no, what does that say about our rights? You know, you're automatically enrolled in these vaccine trials because they can't find enough volunteer guinea pigs for it anymore. And if you don't know that you have the right to opt out, and a lot of people won't know that, more people are going to be subjected to this crap. It's crazy the amount of propaganda they're putting out there, and the more rights that they're taking away from the people to choose and inform themselves.
Well, over here, Chris, they are texting our children. So somehow they've gotten hold of all our children's cell phone numbers, and they're texting our teenage girls, well, starting from 9 years old. And come on to remind you to take your vaccine, your Gardasil vaccine. Of course, Gardasil is the one that's causing all sorts of issues currently. And now, Chris, they are asking our boys to take it as well. You've got to be under 27 years of age and a virgin, preferably, to save your boys' cervix.
is that the HPV vaccination that they're trying to get out?
Gardasil.
Yeah, Gardasil, indeed. Right. So our boys suddenly have cervixes and they need protecting. I mean, and to be a virgin and under 27, that's most interesting. Now, they've been doing this to our boys here for well over a year, and I understand it's coming to you soon. So there you go. Look out for that one. You'll really enjoy it.
We're actually going to be meeting with Mary Taco, who has a big movement over here on very well informed on the vaccinations, and she had just sent me a link in California here. Well, I should have known this one. I try not to follow the mainstream media. We've got enough with what we're doing on this film. I'm too preoccupied to even watch television. As a matter of fact, I got rid of the cable altogether. So,
but,
yeah, good for you.
Yeah, right. That's right. I want to focus on. As she mentioned here, I think in California, 12 years of age now, they do not need parental consent for the vaccinations. They can actually pull your kid right out of class and bring him down to the nurse's office, give him the shot. Of course, the kid has to consent. The child has to give, consent. But, I mean, a 12-year-old is really going to comprehend what really is going on, and they seem to think so because they just passed the law.
Come on, folks. Take control. Stop waiting for somebody to come along and fix this, and fix it yourselves. Pull your children out of schools. Just say no. I've done the same thing myself. I pulled my daughter out of schools. I'm not going to have her forced vaccinated. I'm not going to have wireless frying her brain while she's, in a learning institution that they tell me that New Zealand was the first place to be dumbed down. They used it as their experiment. So, before they dumbed down America, they dumbed down the Kiwis. And now when you come over to visit New Zealand, that's part of what they let you know is that most of the people in New Zealand don't have degrees. No. I mean, please, it's really beyond a joke. And you can see that this has been going on for a long, long time. This agenda's been rolling out very hardcore, hasn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
Just full on for the last couple of years. Do you have any idea why that might be? This last 2 years, things have certainly ramped up.
It's a tough one. Personally, I think they're making a move on us. I just think that they're like, it's in fast forward motion. They've been working on us for, obviously, we know how far back the water fluoridation program began, early 40s. Ironically enough, right after World War II, and there's that whole linkage between the Nazi prison camps and the IG Farben Corporation. And it's hard to say, and I hear myself say, and it frightens me a little bit, but personally, I think, we're heading into some pretty serious times, some big changes. I think our species is on a crossroad. Humanity is, and we have to either stand up for ourselves, unplug, or whatever it is they're doing. I mean, it's not good for us, and for some reason, we're getting more and more and more dumped. It's just more accelerated. There's got to be a reason for it. What that is, I don't have the complete answer on. But it's causing a lot of deaths. We know that. We know what it's doing to us. We know what the impact, biological impact it's having on us, and environmentally, the impact it's having. Especially if you look to the political arena here, and you see all these bills that are on the table for, they're attacking organic farmers, they don't want you growing your own food, you can't have your, you can't collect rainwater, vitamins are under attack, the big pharma wants to control the vitamins, and the minerals and nutrients. It's just absurd. Monsanto Corporation coming up with aluminum resistant seeds. It just all adds, just connect these dots. Like, they are not looking out for your interest. They're not. They're looking out for their own. They're looking out.
Right, and then we have a president on top of that if some of these bills don't go through, then he'll just sign an executive order. I mean, that man has signed how many executive orders since he's been in office? SOPA and the PIPA, with the whole ACTA thing, is a very good example of that. People think they can go out there and fight these bills that are going up before Congress, when actually there's already been treaties signed and executive orders and everything else that already put these things into place. So, the bills going up before Congress are almost like just a distraction, something to keep the people busy while they institute what they want anyway.
Right. It's going to happen with or without our consent, and I hate to say it, do we live in a democratic society? I don't think so, personally. It's unfortunate, and I hate to say it, and I'll be the one to say it. I figured this out as a kid. I remember thinking, Why is it that every president that we get elected, nobody follows through on what they promised in their campaign? I mean, it's just the same old hat. Oh, he's just making up. And the excuse is, no, he was handed this mess, and he's just trying to do his best. I'm sorry. We have a president who was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize, and he is the biggest warmongering president we've ever had. Come on.
The man is a living oxymoron, in my opinion.
It just shows you how deep-rooted, I mean, to have a Nobel Peace Prize given to this man. I mean, I'm sorry. He's just a puppet. I'm sorry. He's, you know, hand-plucked out of college. Like everybody, the majority of you know, our political leaders right now. And it's unfortunate. Which is good, though, is the community, the people are waking up to this. As we all know, Rose got her show. I'm trying to do my little part. And a lot of people say, Chris, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Well, the first thing you got to do is take some time and dig into this stuff. Remove the blinders. Have that courage. And then once you take this information on, this knowledge, now you're... You know, your awareness level is going to be heightened. You're going to be tuned into these things. And it's kind of, you're going to be vibrating, I think, on a higher frequency. We all are. And eventually, collectively, we're going to come together. And I believe collectively wake up.
What you're doing is amazing. You've taken three different areas of this, and you are trying to bridge those gaps now. You know, some of these people need to let go. Some of these people need to just let it go and stop trying to be in control of their end of the bargain. And just, it's time to collaborate. It's time. And when this happens, this is when this huge consciousness shift will happen. Now, how long can we sit here watching the president say the same rubbish over and over and over again? I mean, we see it here in New Zealand too. It's just nonsense. They're just feeding out the same stuff over and over again. And yet every year we line up like sheep, go to the polling booth, give them their big tick, and then they come again just to do the same thing. I mean, you know, it's the same with the poisons. It's all of this, folks. It's just time. It's time. Gather your friends and family, those that are awakening, hold their hands and just start sharing your information. Just share it. Do what you can do. You don't need to start radio stations. You don't need to make films. All you have to do is start talking to your neighbour, growing some food and doing some inner work, because it is definitely time to do this inner work. Got a caller on the line. Are you happy to take that, Chris?
Yeah, sure.
Are you there, caller?
Yeah, my name's Alex Hunter. I'm in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. What I'm seeing is that we're running right out of time, and we're really encouraged by your calling the movies what you've called it.
Right.
And a lot of us are putting undue pressure on you and on the other side as filmmakers, because you're filmmakers, and like it's all of a sudden like, here, take this torch, yeah, go get yourselves killed, right?
Yeah.
It's up to all of us to support you and to stand up at the same time. Each and every one of us should put in a significant effort. And we all have families and children. And nothing motivates me more. As I'm a single parent, I look at my kids every day, and I look out the window every day, and we couldn't even go outside. We're under so much plasma crap and poison here in Victoria. It's like Guinea Pig Island. So, you know, it's not hard for us to understand where we are in the on the timeline. You guys can recognize that there's an urgency here and just sort of expedite the film and get it out as quickly as possible.
I would love nothing more, Alex, than to get this thing out and off from underneath us. And, you know, it encompasses a lot. In addition to encompassing a lot, it's encompassed a lot of my, almost, we're tapped out financially. I mean, we've got, you know, again, we have full-time jobs. I have a baby on the way. Paul, you know, works hard, and this is what we try to do. We want to do this full-time. It needs to be done full-time. I mean, we are working full-time, there's no doubt, but we're juggling other jobs as well, and we just had to scrounge everything together just to back up the film. We had a few donations come in, but, I mean, really, we need help. We need... There's tens of thousands of dollars that we're going to need just to wrap this thing up. So,
okay, and how do we do that, Chris? How do we get donations to you? I mean, I know that we'll certainly get involved. We'll get a link up on our site to link to yours, so we can get some donations in there for you. I mean, I know people that went hungry for 2 weeks just to donate to What in the World Are They Spraying? So let's do this. Let's get to the guts of it.
It's great. I thank you for that, Rose. And our website is thegreatculling.org, thegreatculling.org. at the bottom of our splash page, our main page, there's a donate button. You just click on that. It's a PayPal donation, and everything will be, you know, we're looking for funding partners. You'll get credits depending on, you know, what's donated. So if there's a film involved, you'll receive anything over $200. Again, any little dime helps right now. This post-production is the most expensive part. What better investment too, huh, Alex? I mean, for your own personal health and the health of future generations, your kid. Look at your kids. I'm about to be a dad. I can't think of any other place of, like, what better place than to get this out, you know?
Absolutely.
If you think our healthcare system was broken beforehand, wait till we all rush it by the millions. Let's just isolate aluminum, for instance. With the healthcare problems, the way they're structured, when we wreck that healthcare system in the millions, it's going to fail us en masse. It's going to be catastrophic. So, and that's by design. We're doing this deliberately, and right. There's no shortage of proof for examples. So, I mean, that's why people should donate to you right now and try and expedite your film. So, if it's just a money thing, people have a lot of money, and they, you know, if they part with $10,000, $20,000, whatever, who cares? I mean, it's nothing to them. Nope.
Along those lines, people don't need to donate a lot. If everybody just donated a little bit, go without your coffee, like Rose says, for a week and donate that money. If everybody just donated a little bit, it accumulates and it all helps.
I wish we could do it alone. I mean, if I could, I would. We could wrap this up in a month if we had the funding. We could have it done in a month.
Sure. We need the funds to get it out there, guys. And you know that I don't like asking for money, and you know that the station doesn't ask for money at all, but it'd be awesome to see you all stand up and just get behind these guys. Just a few pennies, it doesn't matter. Just do what you can. We need this information out there, and we need it out there now.
Well, we have PayPal. Okay, we can send some money right now. We'll send $20, so we're flat broke. So
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm off to do the same thing. So, from the bottom of our hearts, biggest thanks for what you are both doing. We know that you're almost 24 hours a day. We all are at this point. Full support to you. Again, share your website with us. It is thegreatculling.org, isn't it?
That's correct. Thegreatculling.org. And yeah, right on our splash page, you can find out quite a bit about the film itself through the website as well. So, you know, it's a cheap website because we don't have a lot of money, so bear with us. It's enough to get us through. And once we can get this thing released and get out there and people start making copies, I want it to go like wildfire, just like what in the world. And I think the audience is in place now. More people are tuned and people like yourself, Rose, and you know, doing what you're doing, it's wonderful, and I commend you, and I thank you for having me on as your guest, and it was a great time. So take care, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Okie dokie, looking forward to that. All right, well, there you go, folks. That was the great Chris Maple from The Great Culling, and lovely fella he is, too. And I know Paul Wittenberger is just as amiable. He's been behind the scenes there with both those films, with What in the World Are They Spraying and The Great Culling. Yado, if you're out there, we love you. We'll see you all soon, folks. This tune is from Open Heart Machine, and it's called Death Dumps.
Good night, everybody.